It's a beautiful world we can create through that kind of heart-centered energy, isn't it? And we know it doesn't always work out that way. There are things that go bump in the night that scare us out of our wits. Have you ever been frightened of your own shadow? Or a shadow? Yeah. I remember when my family moved, I was about 7 years old, and everything was new, so I was feeling a bit anxious. You know, home was new, school was new, neighborhood was new. And I got off the bus one day, and we had moved into this area that was just being developed. So I imagine the wild animals around felt the same way. Like, what is going on here with our home, right? So there was a lot of that sort of unsettled energy. And when I got off the bus, this big pheasant took off up above me. And compared to my little being at the time, the shadow of that pheasant seemed enormous to me, and I convinced myself that the bird was after me. And so I ran as fast as my little legs would carry me, and it was a pretty long run from the bus stop. And I, you know, sort of classic, you know, close the door and, oh my gosh, you know, I made it. It didn't eat me. It didn't carry me off into the wild beyond, you know, all the things that were racing through my mind about this really shadow that I was more afraid of than the bird itself. And isn't it sort of that way, even as adults, that this idea of the shadow self, the things that lurk in the unknown, make us want to run fast and slam the door shut in our safe places, right? Or wish that it would just fly away. The shadow is this idea that was founded by transpersonal psychologist Carl Jung. And it's basically what we hide from ourselves. We're best at hiding it from ourselves. What we attempt to hide from other people, and what we maybe just aren't ready to see yet. We hide it because we don't want to see it, we don't want others to see it, or we're just not ready. And a lot of that is a part of the unconscious. We truly don't recognize what it is that we put into that shadow, these parts of ourselves. They might be our prejudices, they might be our fears, our grief, our anger. It could be all kinds of things that get cast into the shadow for various reasons. I grew up in a household where anger was not openly expressed. I mean, once in a while, my dad would overreact to literally something like spilled milk. But mostly, the rest of our household being female maybe was a part of that. It was clear, the message was clear, that being a self-controlled, well-behaved being was the goal. I mean, I'm not sure how I got all those messages, but the message was clear, right? So, and anger wasn't a part of the plan, so of that well-behaved, self-controlled being that we were to be. So of course, that then just got pushed off into the shadow, right? And it lingered there for a while, probably popped out a little here and there, but I remember one incident where it really popped out. And it was high school, where we care a lot about, you know, what the folks around us think, right? So my friend Julie, who had known me from grade school, drove me, the two of us went to the homecoming float building experience and event. And of course, the homecoming dance was coming up, and another friend of ours, Sue, and my date were going to double date for this event. And so I had been noticing, though, about Sue that she would kind of, it seemed to me, manipulate social situations in the background and then sort of put on a happy face and sort of a glib reason. And she always came out smelling rosy and looking really popular. And so this had been sort of grating a little bit for me, you know. So when I was at this event, I discovered that my date and I had been completely pushed out of the plans, and some kind of reason was given for group inclusivity or something, and everybody was buying it, and I just blew a gasket. I mean, really, I was like somebody just opened up the fire hydrant and all the water went streaming out on Sue and everybody around. You know? Wasn't one of my finest moments. Anybody ever have one of those? Yeah. It was just all that shadowy stuff, right? There it was, aired out. And so I got into, but it was also exhilarating and powerful, right? You know that feeling too? So I get in the car with my friend Julie, who's just mouth agape, eyes as big as saucers, and she says, "Wow, I did not know you had that in you." And I said, "Neither did I." And we just both kind of sat there in shock, you know? And I'm sure everybody else did who witnessed it. So there it is, you know? This is the experience that can happen with the shadow when it remains in the shadows. It remains hidden. It remains repressed. It's like the beach ball you try to put under the water and up it comes, right? And so it's that kind of experience that most of us would like to avoid having. So what is it that, you know, we can glean from this? What blessings are present for us? What lessons are there for us? For me, it made me recognize I am capable of expressing anger. In fact, I feel anger. And here's the key. It's okay. That's the key. It's about acceptance. It's about self-love. That's what welcomes the shadow back in. It's not lost on me that it was a homecoming event. Right? Because that's what happens. It's a homecoming of these pieces of ourselves that we have cast out, that we have learned for some reason are not okay. And that's the process of integrating the shadow back into the wholeness that we are. So there are parts of us, we often think of the shadow as these things that, you know, we wouldn't want or that are so-called negative. The shadow includes everything that, you know, all aspects that can be hidden. And so it could be what some people sometimes even call the golden shadow, are those things that are positive characteristics that for whatever reasons got shoved aside. Maybe, for example, Kimberly Fosso gives the example that as a child, we were really boisterous about what we liked and didn't like. We raised our voice about things. We expressed ourselves. We had a strong will. And everybody around us said, "You're too much. You're too much." Yeah, some of you have gotten that, right? So it's that tamping down, keeping small, right? So that goes into the shadow then, even your strength, your confidence, your power. And then you become adult, and all of a sudden you got all these painful things going on in your life. And it's like, what's going on here? Because there is this divisiveness inside of us. There is a real part of us, an authentic part of our soul expression that's been severed in a way. And we start looking around and recognizing what it is, and we can bring it home, bring it back, and own those characteristics that really help us in life, that are a part of what the gifts that we have to give in life. So since the shadow includes all aspects of being, we'll notice it in traits that we admire in others, as well as traits that make us go, ooh. You know, so it's both of those reactions that can tell us something. Like, for example, you'll say, "Oh, that person is so funny. I'm not funny at all." Well, think again, because if you spot it, you got it, as they say, right? So as you see those characteristics that you love and admire about others, that you really would love to have yourself, but you don't see yourself a part of, that's the subconscious getting your attention. That's what happens. The subconscious sort of waves at us, you know, tries to get our attention. So what we have to work with rises up into the conscious mind, into the light of day. Charles Fillmore in Metaphysics talks about the three phases of mind, the trinity of mind. And so we work with this subconscious, this conscious, and superconscious mind too. And so that superconsciousness is that divine light, that essence of us that is a part of this whole process that helps us then not only recognize and bring into the light of day, but really own it and let it be a part of that truth of who we are. Let that I am shine a bit more through us. So the shadow work is so significant to the spiritual journey, to our maturation process. Carl Jung talked about the absolute essential significance of shadow and in his big body of work. He said that shadow is not only dark, but also light. It's not only semi-human or even demonic, but superhuman and spiritual and even divine. He said the shadow is the source of our highest good. That's powerful, right? The shadow is the source of our highest good. That thing we keep running from, hiding, suppressing, putting in the back closet is the source of our highest good. It's time to open up the cabinet. Shine a light, right? See what's there, because I know we all want to be fueled by the source of our highest good. So many life improvements are reported by people who do conscious shadow work. Here's a few examples that are played out on the internet and other places. Self-love and acceptance, I've mentioned. Healthy relationships. More authenticity, a more authentic expression of your soul, greater confidence, more compassion and understanding, especially for others and even for those you dislike, a greater sense of passion and purpose in our lives, wholeness, unveiled gifts, greater mental and emotional and spiritual clarity, enhanced creativity, and those are just a few. So, this work is worthy of celebration. It might take some work. It may not always be pleasant, but yet that reintegration is so worth it. It's that knowing amazing things I will do as I let these parts of me come home. Myrtle Fillmore, our co-founder, said it this way: we must begin at once to rejoice in the light that has come to redeem our subconsciousness from the shadows of error and fear. So we often overlook our shadow work in our spiritual journey because we want to bask in the light and the love and the joy all the time, right? As a clergy friend of mine once said in another tradition, it can't be Easter all the time. Our collective New Thought shadow, I think, is that we don't think we have one. And so it's even recognizing, right? Yeah, that gets us, doesn't it? Even recognizing, right? It's okay to have a shadow. If we don't allow the space for pain, we won't ever feel the fullness of our joy. This is why we want to bring forth the allness of who we are, accept the allness of who we are, reclaim it. You know, it's like that light will shine as broadly and as deeply and radiate as far out into the world in equal measure to the depths and the dark unknown that we plumb. And so the willingness to go deep as well as big and bright and outward, to live inward as well as out loud. That's part of this walk of shadow work that is provided for us. You know, Tyrone and Felicia were telling us this morning that they recently came back from Unity Village, and there was a huge conference of people of African descent in Unity, and 500 people gathered together from all over the country, and they were just saying what a wonderful celebration it was. And I thought about back when Reverend Dr. Johnny Coleman went to Unity in ministerial school, and the prejudice that she underwent in that process was really unfortunate. I heard that at one point she wasn't even allowed to live on campus, that her car was keyed, that various things happened. And one of our ministers in Unity going to ministerial school. I mean, we got the ghosts, the skeletons in the closet here too, right? But here's the good news. We shine the light and we go, okay, I've seen the boogeyman. I see that I'm projecting some of that. I'm owning some of that. And so what can I do to make a difference, to bring forth healing? You know, it's never too late. It's never too late for us to welcome home, to see the good, the bad, the ugly, and just say, okay, I have that capacity in me too. So let's get to work healing it. We all can heal it together. That's the work that comes out of shadow work, is seeing it. That's why I tell you that story, because it'd be, you know, it's embarrassing. I'd rather not, especially if you're new here today, I'd rather you didn't know that story about Unity, right? It's like everybody here, you know, we all probably got a little uncomfortable, like, oh, I don't really want to know that about our past. But if we put it out there, then it loses its power, and it allows us to heal. It allows us to see. It allows us to say, I'm sorry. Even if it's too late to say, I'm sorry to Reverend Johnny Coleman, it's not too late to say, I'm sorry to all the other people that may have been hurt or are being hurt, you know? So that's why this work is so important. That's what we're up to in the world now. The shadow is, wah, shadow work. This is it, right? It's everywhere. It's popping up everywhere in every way. And so it's little boys don't cry and little girls don't be angry. That's the shadow of the patriarchy. And it's like we're stepping out of that. We're moving forward. We're spiritually awakening. We're recognizing that gender is a spectrum. There's all kinds of things. Goodness that is coming out of looking at our shadows. And some of it, yeah, we didn't necessarily go looking for it. It's just come on out, right? Because it's time. Because it's time. And we're the ones. Because you know why you're the one? Because you're here now on the planet. That's how you know. I'm here now on the planet to be a healer. I'm here now on the planet to be somebody who looks at the difficult things so that I can bring greater light and love and joy through me and as me on the planet. That's what it's always about, isn't it? So Jesus, as it turns out, was an excellent depth psychologist. In 2,000 years ago, far predating Carl Jung and all the modern psychology, he said this about the shadow, a teaching on projection. He said, why do you see the splinter in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the splinter out of your eye, when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, he says. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly. Father Richard Rohr says that Jesus calls the ego self that wants to look good at all costs the actor. It's said 15 times alone in the Gospel of Matthew, and often in the Greek, it's translated into hypocrite. And so he's speaking to this idea of projection. You know, when we say it's them, it's you, you know what they always say? One finger pointing out and three fingers pointing back, right? And so as we turn that around, we can recognize projection is one of the shadow's favorite tactics. It loves to project out. So for us, we can begin to spot our shadow by asking ourselves, what am I saying, in my mind at least, about others, about those closest to me, about people I've never met, somebody who just passed me on the street, suddenly I have a whole story about that person. You know, it's like, what is going on there? That projection can help us see the shadow more clearly. So in whatever ways we project out into groups of people, individuals, whatever it is, we can start to pay attention to, that's pointing me to my shadow. Jesus reminds us our business is the log in our own eye, right? He's telling us that's where you look. Look there first. And the promise then, when we remove that log from our own eye, is to see more clearly. When we see more clearly, everything hums along a little better in life, doesn't it? When we see more clearly, we feel more at ease. When we see more clearly, we see more deeply. All the way back to like the beginnings of time when Eve reached for that apple for greater self-knowledge, and the gods told Adam and Eve that now you will see like us, both good and evil. That's what this work is about, a willingness to see more clearly all the whole spectrum and be okay with all of it, more than okay with all of it. Use the fodder of the shadow to propel ourselves forward into the essence and the truth and the living, the lived truth of who we are. So that is one of the ways, projection is one of the ways we can begin to spot the ego. The shadow. The ego wants us to stay on the surface of self-knowledge, right? The surface mind. It doesn't want us to go down into the subconscious and unconscious realms and start to bump into things in the night. It doesn't, that's part of what the ego always wants to look good. So that's a big piece of what keeps us from looking. And yet we know with the spiritual work, we can be made whole again by doing exactly that. So our emotional reactions can be a real harbinger for us of shadow, right? What thrills you? What really excites you? What do you get super excited about? What disgusts you? What shocks you? These are the things that are indicators that there might be some shadow behind it because you have such an emotional reaction. What triggers you? What are your hot buttons? All of that can say, okay, there might be something behind this. Let's lift up that rock and see what's there. And then we'll know. And then we can work with it. That subconscious that I mentioned that's waving us, it is waving at us in various ways because just as we are looking maybe to spot the shadow with our conscious minds, that subconscious is looking to get our attention. There's a continual process of trying to get our attention. It shows up in nighttime dreams. So our nighttime dreams are trying to show us something about ourselves, about our lives. So we can just blow them off, or we can look and wonder and ask and dig a little bit deeper. The subconscious shows up as recurring patterns in our lives. And so we begin to notice the patterns. You know, do you ever notice that you've had the same issues in multiple different relationships? You could suddenly go, what's the common denominator here? Maybe there's something here that I could look at, right? So that it's that work to point back. What comes forth when you doodle, when you draw? What kind of symbols arise naturally? That can be the subconscious. You know, symbols are that really rich language of spirit and soul that can really put us in the right brain in a different way of thinking and being than we typically are in our culture. And that we enter into that artistic realm more fully and the mystical realm as well and be able to work with something. Years ago, I recognized that I really didn't like being told what to do. That I... Oh, I see some of you too. And so I would have this reaction when people were telling me, I perceived that they were telling me what to do, you know? And after a while, I thought, wow, I'm really, that seems like kind of a big reaction to something that occurred just now, you know? So as the awareness began to come, I did some meditation around it, and actually a symbol came to me, a whole scene came to me. I have two older sisters, and so they were burying me with this shovel, you know, like, and I don't know if it was like maybe sand at a beach or something, I don't remember exactly, but there was this sense that the shovel was the symbol that I was being buried. You know how that feeling, if you've ever been buried in sand, it feels really heavy on your chest, And I realized that what that shadow was behind, I don't want to be told what to do, was my own power, my own sense of self, my own sense of assertiveness and confidence. And so as I recognized that, the shovel became really important. And so I actually went out and bought the small kind of a garden trowel, and I had it on my altar through the winter because I live in the Midwest and couldn't garden yet. But I literally, in the spring, got that trowel out and planted a new spring garden. And by working with that symbol, both in a spiritual and a physical way, I began to notice that more confidence was arising in me, a greater sense of my own power, a sense of assertiveness showed up in my life that I didn't have before. But it was always there, right? It just got buried in the shadow. And it was because I was having this reactivity to being told what to do that it got unearthed. It didn't just happen like that, right? I tell you the story because it took some spiritual work. It took some deliberate work with symbol and meditation, and it freed me from that. Now you can all tell me what to do, and I'll be like, fine. I may or may not do it. But this is what happens for us. You know how it is for yourself as you have stepped into the light of your being, as you have brought home some piece of yourself. You know how good that feels. It's like a flood of energy comes back. It's like when the color comes back to our face. It's the color coming back to our souls. It's the fullness and the truth and the life that we were meant to live, that we get unleashed and given back to us. It's freedom. Mirrors. We don't do all this alone. There's mirrors all around, right? We do have to do the inner work. We have to take the initiative to do the personal work, yes. Nobody can do that for us. But we don't do it in a vacuum. And relationships are fabulous mirrors for this kind of work, right? Some people laugh at the word fabulous. They're just mirrors. I won't give them an adjective. They're just mirrors, right? Because they are mirrors for both the things that we dislike or don't want to own, and also mirrors for the things that we admire, that we wish to be, that we want to grow into. So to have the mirrors in our life, people both that push our buttons and teach us, and people that we think the world of. It's good to have a variety of mirrors in our lives, to get out into the world, into relationship, so that we can grow in this way. It's probably one of the fastest tracks of all to this work. So shadow work, in sum, brings us into spiritual wholeness. It brings us into the wholeness of ourselves. It brings us peace and wisdom and joy of being our authentic selves. And it matures us both emotionally and spiritually. Midway through Paul's famous 1 Corinthians 13 quote that we often use at weddings to talk about love. It starts out, love is patient, love is kind. And it's interesting to me that he talks all about love, and then he goes into this section where he talks about really what happens when we integrate the shadow. He says, but when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. And when I became an adult, I put away childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I am fully known. That's what happens when we integrate the shadow. Beautiful, isn't it? So let's do this inner shadow work so that we will know fully and be fully known. I invite you into the shadows this week. Let's speak this affirmation together. With love and acceptance, I reclaim my shadow back into my whole self. And so it is.